Hello, America. Dave Hodges here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report on the CommonSenseShow.tv and all our other venues here. We have a blockbuster report for you here. And Doug Thornton is here. He's from the American Vindictus Show. That's his show. The Common Sense Show is my show. And the reality is we combine our talents and let's just put it this way. We are the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and we have a very grim report for you. I have been putting out supporting documentation all day long. And this all started, and I'll just kind of set the tone here and then bring Doug in because he is the military expert. I'm not. I mean, I have a fair amount of military contacts, but Doug has real life experience. And I don't pretend that my contacts necessarily matches his experience. But the stuff I'm getting from real live sources and news items as well shows a complete betrayal of the United States on behalf of China from Antony Blinken. He's worse than Neville Chamberlain. Remember the guy that basically gave away Europe to the Nazis or part of Europe, particularly Czechoslovakia? And then a short time later, Hitler broke the agreement and attacked Poland after Neville Chamberlain said, "We have peace in our time." Well, we have a piece of crap that's a Secretary of State, and he's worse than Neville Chamberlain because he's a traitor. And we're going to get into that here today on the Common Sense Show, in the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm warning you. I firmly believe, from what I've been told, that we're going to see fighting in the streets and Americans are going to be on their own. I firmly believe that's coming. I don't have a time frame. This is event-driven. It's not timetable-driven. Doug, let me just run a couple things by and I'll let you respond to these. Number one, Taiwan has basically been told they're on their own. We only believe in a one China state. That's what Blinken said. You piece of crap betraying Taiwan to where no other ally will ever trust us again. Number two, we don't care if China negotiates deals with the Middle East. Well, let's see. You've taken away our domestic energy. The only place we can get energy is the Middle East. Do you think China is going to hamper or hinder that? China is going to cut off our oil is what's going to end up happening. And that's a national security concern as well as a huge economic concern. We're a consumer economy. We ship everything. And that is now in danger because of Blinken. And Blinken said, we don't have a problem with the Chinese having a huge training facility in Cuba, 90 miles from our shore. And I did a piece up on the CommonSenseShow.tv today, say, what would JFK do? He'd bomb the living you-know-what out of them, just like he was going to do in the Cuban Missile Crisis. Instead, we have traitors running the White House. China was in Germany yesterday negotiating deals. They're breaking up NATO. Macron was in China a month ago. Those are the two strongest NATO proponents, and now NATO is being undermined. We're being left without allies. We're going to be left without resources, and it's all because we have a traitorous government in charge. Doug, that's my spiel to open up. I'll just turn it over to you and get your take on all this and any other insight you may have.
Well, here, listen to this comment from the chief executive of Raytheon, all right? Raytheon is probably one of the top five biggest military contractors that we have in the industrial complex. It's coming to you from Zero Hedge. Raytheon chief executive Greg Hayes admitted last week that Beijing effectively has the U.S. military supply chain, quote, by the balls, thanks to its reliance on rare earth and other materials which come from or are processed in China. According to Hayes, Raytheon has several thousand suppliers in China, because of which the decoupling is impossible. He goes on to say that we can de-risk, but we cannot decouple. And he says this to the Financial Times, and he thinks that this is a case for everybody involved in China. He said, think about it, the $500 billion of trade that goes from China to the U.S. every year. More than 95% of rare earth materials or metals come from or are processed in China. There is no alternative. Hayes continued, adding that if we had to pull out of China, it would take us many, many years to reestablish that capacity, either domestically or in other friendly countries. He says, Hayes says that comments underline the difficulties facing Western manufacturers amid growing friction between China and the U.S. And Beijing in February imposed new sanctions on both Raytheon and U.S. Defense per Lockheed Martin for supplying weapons to Taiwan. Now, I will say this. You know where a lot of our microchips come from? China. Most microchips come from China, which we use in everything. We use Chinese-made material and probably all of our weapon systems, from our Javelin guided rocket launchers, to most of our, drones or planes or tanks, automobiles. We're having to get all this stuff from China. We would have to retool and refit the industry of America, which would take, as you know this, take years. It would take bare minimum 2 years, 3 years. And if we're about to get into a war, we actually can't risk that right now. Even though we're part of that war is going to be with China. So I don't know what in the hell we're thinking. We would have to have iron ore, the biggest creator right now of iron ore that's processed in the world is Australia. And so you need iron ore to create steel. And we get our steel now, not from Pittsburgh. We get it from China. And
Let
it's not even of the same quality.
me ask you about iron ore. Wouldn't China affect a blockade to stop that from happening if we were in conflict?
China would have a much better chance of doing that. Australia now has said that they are willing to risk a international relationship with China, and they have decided to side with the US and UK. So that will greatly affect China's military industrial complex because they have to have steel for anything and everything that is related to war efforts.
Australia,
Which would
Australia's,
mean
yeah. I
that,
was going to say Australia just signed their death
which would mean
warrant.
a few things. Here's one thing. That's right. If we get into all-out World War III and we don't defend China like how we're not going to defend, who? We're not going to defend almost any of our neighbors. We're not going to even take care of ourselves. We just left Taiwan out to the sharks. We would have to be there 24/7, which would leave our shores somewhat vulnerable because Australia's fleet is nowhere near the size to even combat China. China has the second biggest fleet in the world. We have the biggest, and China has almost as many boats as we do. So China is a serious military threat. This whole dog and pony show that goes on Fox News and all these other places where China's a threat, nah, China's a paper tiger. No, China's an actual military threat. Our Pentagon knows it. Our military knows it. Our politicians know it. They're a legitimate military threat. And not only that, but they're using the bonds and all the money that they have against us by dumping it back into the market. And that's going to drive down the cost of the dollar. And you're seeing it right now in the stock market. You're seeing 2 days in a row that Dow and all these, the S&P 500, they're all closing in negatives. So we are already in a bad area right now, Dave.
I don't think there's any other way to look at this, but here's the bottom line. This is the systematic destruction of America. The biggest threat that I see, and this may surprise you, I'm reacting this way. It's not the Chinese in large numbers going into Cuba. It's not even the potential of Chinese troops on our border, which we know strongly rumored. It's the energy situation involving China's involvement in the Middle East that will cut our oil off eventually. Biden took away our oil, and now I can see why. It has nothing to do with climate change. It has to do with giving China the upper hand as they move into the Middle East, and they will withhold our oil. They'll get these nations in Belt and Road initiatives, and they'll blackmail them to do their national policy, which is not to send oil to this country. We'll be paralyzed militarily, and we'll be destroyed economically.
Well, currently the Africans are wanting to kick the U.S. out of every single nation in Africa. Like every single one of them want the U.S. out because all we do is we bring bloodshed and war, and China and Russia are bringing military-industrial complex and the actual market-industrial complex. They're bringing jobs. They're bringing in wealth. They're building schools, not blowing up stuff. You know, they're bringing a ton of money, investing into the people, which is what we used to do. You know, we used to do this type of stuff, and then we started to bomb the hell out of everybody.
USAID, remember USAID?
Yes, we rule by fear.
Exactly.
That's right. And
exactly
and that,
right.
Like, Haiti was the best example of what America could do. And then you had the Clintons, and they're the best example of why no one can trust America anymore, right? So, you know, here's another thing. When it comes to the oil, yeah, on the immediacy, it's a threat. But right here in Texas, we have like 10,000 well pumps, natural gas, oil, and in every state surrounding us, all 50 states, they're drilling for oil. We got oil in Alaska that could supply the entire country for 400 or 500 years. So I'm not worried about oil. What I'm worried about is a sock puppet of a president who says, nope, you can't drill oil today because I'm the president. Well, screw that guy. Let's just start doing it. What would the president do? What could he really do if, let's say, Greg Abbott says, you know what? We're not listening to the federal government. We're not going to do a detriment to our economy and hurt the citizens of Texas, because we'll probably have to be an independent country at that point. And we're going to drill for oil and natural gas, and it ain't going nowhere. It's staying.
You're breaking up on me, Doug.
Inside, send the federal agents? Yeah, good luck. You got me?
I got you now.
Yeah, there's nothing Biden could do if any governor decided that we're going to start drilling oil in our states. And just each state just keeps the oil. I say keep the oil and sell it to the federal government.
That's a complicated issue. I started thinking about what's the military aspect of this going to be. Would Biden send in shock troops to arrest governors and state legislators?
I don't think so, because you're gonna have to fight off the governor's state patrol guard. You're gonna have to fight off the National Guard. Not only that, but if certain states really get into it, you're gonna have to fight off we the people. And once again, here's your parameters of a civil war. Right? It's going to be about economics. Everyone said that, you know, slavery was the driver of the Civil War, but it wasn't. It was a factor, but it wasn't the driver. It was economics. Economics is the driver of almost every kind of military dispute that there is right now, that there has been for the longest time. So, I mean, Texas, multiple other states have talked about doing a gold-backed digital currency. Well, how could Texas make its own digital currency and it supersede the dollar? I don't think we can do that unless there's not a dollar, or there's not another more viable option to the dollar, or we're not a state anymore and we're an independent country again. But then again, at the same time, if you were Biden, would you allow the state that has some of the most military bases, some of the most land, the biggest chunk of the Mexican border, all the different areas for the Gulf, for the refineries that we have? Like, would you just let that go? No, you wouldn't let that go. That's where your fight would be. But then Louisiana would join us, Arkansas would join us, Tennessee would join us, New Mexico might join us. They've all turned into a bunch of commies. Not the people there, but your government. You know, most likely Oklahoma would definitely join us. And, you know, you would have a confederate of states that would stand up out of nowhere and tell the government, up yours, we're not going to let you destroy what we've made. But once again, parameters of a civil war. Right now, the way I see it, and I don't care who the real enemy is in the eyes of our politicians, in the eyes of we, the people, the real enemy is the politicians. It's not China. It's not Russia. because we're having to fight the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Department of Energy and all these other clown shows that are going on over child sex rights and transgenderism and all this other crap. So right now, the way we're looking at it, it's the government that's the biggest threat to national security. I mean, who is more of a threat to we the people than Joe Biden's government?
Well, the CCP is reigning supreme over the White House.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be a cold day in hell before the Russians and Chinese get over here and decide that they want to get into a dogfight, trench warfare, or just good old mountain warfare with some of us good old boys here in America. Because then you got to deal with everybody else. You're not just going to be fighting the hillbillies and the rednecks. You're going to be fighting everybody.
Yeah, but there's an equalizer.
When the military
there.
Decides to finally right itself, well, when the military finally decides to right itself, they're going to wind up on two sides, the right side or the wrong side.
I think we're having a desynchronization here. This is a real complicated issue because, first of all, the document that came out of Weifang's speech to the Central Planning Committee of the CCP, and multiple people were given this document when it was transcribed and sent out. Weifang says the use of bio race specific weapons, and they were developed in conjunction with Israel. Military people I talk to doubt whether they can pull that off, but they also go on to say chemical attacks on a widespread scale will neutralize 100 million Americans with guns to a large extent. How do you respond to those two positions?
So I think scarier than an invasion, scarier than a nuclear war, is the war of germs. Because there's no adequate way to protect yourself. But at the same time, you have to produce so many tons of the viral strains or bacteria to release upon a population for it to overwhelm a country. It would be something that I consider to be localized. And you let it creep into a major city and let it spread like wildfire. And as people, you know, as the ants flee the colony that's on fire, the fire spreads, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all these viral agents, they all have a burnout time. They can't last forever. So that threat will be a threat for however long it lasts. Now, the problem is that they have such an exhaustive amount of deadly agents that they can use. And then you have the real, you know, xenogenic type, which is stuff that we're very alien to us. We don't really know very much about. And that's the designer viruses, Dave, the ones that can, you know, specifically pinpoint DNA. That's a really bad one.
That's what I'm talking about with race-specific bioweapons, Doug.
I personally don't think they can produce enough of it for it to go from the West Coast to East Coast. But if you hit military bases with it, well, I mean, the majority of most men and women in the military is white, because that's the majority of everyone here in the United States. And then what are the other classes? You have Hispanic, and then you have African Americans. So if you make designer drugs or designer viruses to hit the top three, Hispanic, African American, and white, well, you can decimate a force, because then you're going to have the same thing for most law enforcement, which law enforcement's not going to be held in a pocket. It's going to be spread out. But there are pockets of military at bases. So, you know, that's a probable cause for concern. But like I said, it doesn't have to be the designer, just the old good old flu. If you can really crank that sucker up, like what they did with COVID, or the SARS the SARS, MERS, Marburg freaking virus thing. And you can really reach out and touch people with some of those nasty germs. And your gas mask ain't always going to protect you, because most people don't know how to do proper decontamination. Most people aren't going to have the proper filters. You know, I mean, how many different times I saw people gagging in their gas mask that they bought from freaking Home Depot while we're slinging OC and CS gas at them at these riots. And you know, it's comical, because you think like your paint thinner mask is going to stop you from some of these thick vapor or really thin chemicals, and it's not. You got to have very special filters, and those filters are typically $50 to $100 for those filters. So, and you know, and those filters only last for so long, depending on how humid it is, or if it's go from, you know, a week or 2 weeks in a really arid environment, maybe even stretch it out to a month. But if it's raining and you're outside, you might have a day. You know, and you got to have an exhaustive amount of these filters.
Well, what the Chinese are not going to do, there's not going to be any MP.
And then, like I said, all the decontamination stuff.
Okay, we're really getting delayed here in our conversation. I'm not sure why. We have a bad connection. I hope it's coming through okay. But what I was trying to say was...
I got you.
What I'm trying to say here very clearly is this, is that the Chinese will not EMP the United States. That's not what they want to take over. They're sending 300 million colonists here. They've been very clear about that. And they said they're not interested in co-occupancy, so genocide is their policy. EMP will not be it. They will not use nuclear weapons on a widespread scale for the same reason. And they want to inherit mostly an intact society. But I think that they will resort to widespread chemical and biological weapons that will dissipate at a time when it'll be safe to come in with their colonists.
Yeah, and you know, I think we have so many traitors in the midst that they would highly weaponize the Department of Justice to go after any dissenters. Because, like, let's say we get invaded. I mean, Joe Biden's already shown us that he's willfully going to just turn us over to the Chinese.
That's true.
At least doing himself. It. He's going to turn him and his family over to the Chinese. Yeah. So, who opposes them, though? You know, does someone at the White House take them out? So, look, we can't allow ourselves to be taken over by, it doesn't matter, Joe Biden. Any president sells us up the river to any of our enemies, what's Congress going to do? What is a dude in the Secret Service going to take care of the problem, arrest the guy? You know, is the Pentagon going to mobilize and do anything? Right now, the Pentagon's so busy trying to figure out what soldiers need to wear high heels, what Marines need to be in skirts, and where to put the rainbow flag on the F-22 Raptor. They've got their heads so far up their ass, they don't know what to do, and we're in the most weakened status of a military that we've ever had. And the moment you cut off all relationships with China, let's talk medical, who's going to prescribe all the psychopaths with all their drugs, all the diabetics with all their insulin? 100% of our insulin comes from China. Heart medicine, China. You know, almost everything that's surgical equipment is coming from China. Band-aids, China. Iodine, China. You know, unless Alex Jones and InfoWars can make a whole new thing because they're redoing the dental atmosphere, at least appreciate that. But unless somebody creates an entire everything made in America market, but you have to get all the materials from scratch, and you have to have all the tools and dyes and factories. No one's investing in that.
I know.
I mean, it would almost be more profitable if we invaded China.
That's not going to happen. It's not never going to happen. To a large extent, we could put on a hell of a nuclear deterrent. Our military, we could have a hell of a guerrilla force, the strongest one ever seen in the history of the world, but we are not capable of fighting a conventional war right now. Those days are gone. And I want to hear some point
Go
counterpoint
ask
from
the
you.
Afghanis in there.
Yeah. Well, do you
Yeah,
think, do you think,
go ask the Af go. Go ahead, Dave.
do you, listen, I can't even get my military friends who bleed America red, white, and blue to say that we can successfully fight the Chinese on the battlefield or in the oceans. And pretty soon we'll lose air superiority. The thinking is we're reduced now to a regional guerrilla warfare force.
Well, at the most, it'll be 5 years till we replace the arms, ammunition, artillery, rockets, whatever that we've sent to Ukraine, because they're not going to send that back to us. So if we get into a war right now, we have no tank busters. We have whatever we have in our storehouse, and that's it. Really quickly. A guerrilla war, it sound here. I'm going to say something that's going to piss a lot of people off. And that's because a lot of people don't have military experience and they don't understand the toughness of this fight. When we start to get our ass kicked in Iraq or in Afghanistan and we are just dug in, pinned down, we got problems with dudes that are laid up in a hotel. I know, like, my seniors, they dropped two JDAMs on a hotel. The first JDAM didn't blow up, and Al Qaeda was all, pinned up inside this huge ass hotel. Had to drop a JDAM on it. Didn't blow up the first time. That's what a $1 million missile didn't drop or didn't blow, and then had to do it again. That's twice I got to have jets on standby to come and do this. And that's two missiles we won't be able to replace the moment the war starts. The moment a war starts, every bullet shot, every rocket fired, every artillery cannon that has launched its salvo doesn't get replaced. We don't have any more of it. We can't make it here because all of our resources are outsourced.
Okay. So where's the answer lie?
Look, man, I'm not here to give people a warm and fuzzy, letting people think that this is going to be, Red Dawn and you're the Wolverine stand on top of Kmart and you defeated the North Koreans. That's not real life. In real life, when the Iraqis and the Afghanis or the Syrians or ISIS had us pinned down in any way, we would just sit, call in air support, have either the helicopter or the fast movers blow the hell out of them, gun run them, and then we'd come and mop up. Or we'd have Fallujah guns when I was in Iraq, call in an artillery strike. We'll sit here and just we'll walk the rounds on top of you. Good luck surviving. But when we don't have that, what are we going to do? Attack a convoy with our 30-06 and 7 mag and 6.5 Creedmoor and the one dude that's got a 50 with a maybe 100 rounds, that's not sufficient. A fire team typically carries more ammunition than that. How many guys are walking around with grenades? How many guys are walking around with 40 Mic grenade launchers? We immediately when this starts, besides the experience, which that's what will. The experience in the American people and the guts of the American people, the tenacity of the American people is what the Russians, is what the Chinese are afraid of. Because you come over here and you're going to be facing some dudes who you should have left alone. However, superior firepower, superior numbers, and air superiority eventually wins the day. Like, we didn't win, right? We didn't win Afghanistan. We didn't win Iraq. We didn't win Vietnam. A lot of times we got our ass kicked. It wasn't the same amount of numbers that we lost. We killed way more than they killed of us. But when that war starts here in America, guess who we can't replace? Every dude that died. What are you going to do? Go to the 16-year-old? Here's his gear that I recovered. I got a couple hours to train you. People don't think these things rationally, Dave. They think Rambo is real. You know, they think they're just going to get shot and just keep running. That's not reality. If you get hit in the femoral artery in your leg, if you get hit in the femoral artery, the way I saw it happen, you got anywhere between 20 and 17 seconds until you bleed out. And for anyone out there who has no idea what a tourniquet is, doesn't own a tourniquet, doesn't even know what the femoral artery is, you're going to bleed out and die from just shrapnel. It's asinine, because I get asked this question all the time. Me and you go back and forth with this all the time. What can we do that will work? Well, I mean, this isn't the colonial wars anymore. We don't have privateers and cannons and flintlocks. We got some really, really nasty stuff now, and the American people don't have it. We don't have attack helicopters. Well, some of you might. Elon Musk might. You know, I mean, maybe we can arm the drones like the Ukrainians have. That kind of works. But eventually you run out of these things. And here's the other thing. You become a big enough problem. Let's say we do start a good-sized militia, and it really whoops a convoy really bad, and we get their stuff. Well, now we're in vehicles that's being tracked by China's satellites. It's not very hard for China then to send a cruise missile off the Pacific or the Atlantic coast to come and track you down, because that cruise missile typically has a couple thousand miles range on it, depending on which one we're talking about. I'm not a cruise missile expert, but we got that. They've got that. And all their stuff is being tracked. Any vehicle they have is being tracked. So the moment you get in there and commandeer, like, yeah, look at me, I'm a badass. And then about 20 minutes later, there's a drone up in the sky at 30,000 feet with a Hellfire missile coming right down at you. And there's no defense for it. So I want to get this illusion out of a lot of these keyboard warriors' heads. If you think you're going to stand and fight, you'll do it for a while. You'll eventually run out of bullets. You'll eventually run out of time. You'll eventually get tired. And if you have this much training, it's going to hurt.
Doug, why do you think the Chinese have a genocide policy towards the United States? You just said it right there. They know what would be coming back their way. Endless guerrilla war. And we couldn't, let's put it this way, and I've said this many times, the only way that we could have won in Vietnam was to commit genocide. We already killed 4 million of those people, but we would have had to commit genocide. And that's what the Chinese are going to bury every one of us.
We said the same thing for Iraq when I was there, because we were getting shot at and blown up by kids. And we talked about, you know, this is ugly, but this is war. The only way that we could have stopped something like this is if we go into every village and we kill every child from 10 and up, every male child from 10 and up of what was considered to be fighting age. And there were some younger than that fighting us. Now, coalition forces, the Marine Corps, at least, we didn't go around trying to, you know, hurt kids. But we are also not in the mindset of, when we get shot at, not to shoot back. We had, you know, pregnant women carry bombs into our foot patrols. So, I mean, war's hell. And then here in America, while all that's going on, what do you think the gangs are going to be doing? While we're busy trying to wage a guerrilla war, the gangs are going to be out there working with the Chinese, and they're going to be doing a human sex slave trade.
Well, it'd be more than that. Who owns the cartels? China. That answers your question.
Well, I'm not talking about the cartels. I'm talking about any gang, all gangs. You think gangs are going to worry about their patriotism? I don't think so.
No, they're going to
maybe
go with
a few.
No, I don't think I said it clearly enough. they're going to go with their benefactor. And the
That's right.
benefactor of the cartels is the Chinese government.
Like, I know that we say train, prep, and pray. That is not an end-all, be-all to solve the problems of potential civil war, World War III. You got to have a tribe, man. You got to have a community of people. You're not going to solo this. You're not going to do it with two or three of your buddies and their wives and kids. That's not how this stuff works. Someone eventually has to cook, eat, build, sleep, be the doctor, be the priest. Somebody's got to go out and scavenge. Somebody's got to go out and be the mechanic, the animal husbandry guy. Someone's got to have the green thumb. Who's the electrician to fix the solar panels when one of the kids, is playing tag and falls on it and beats it up or whatever. Like, you got to have an answer for all these problems. That's why a military base has all those people there. That's why we had so many contractors, generator specialists, electricians, plumbers, craftsmen of all kinds. Like 90%, at least 90% of the guys on base are for logistics alone. Like 5% of us were for fighting, and that was all that it took. That's all it took. But if I didn't eat, I didn't fight. If I couldn't get my truck to work, I didn't fight. If I couldn't put fuel in the truck, I didn't fight. If Doc doesn't have medicine and I feel sick, I'm out of the fight. Who's going to be delivering me all my ammo? Oh, and by the way, when our trucks break down, when we're outside the wire, who's coming to get me? Because not all the time could we go out there and could we recover our own vehicles. Dave, I think a lot of Americans have good intent, but they don't understand the complexities of war. Try and live every day without going to the bank, getting on the internet, using a public road. You got to have everything established. And in wartime, these things get destroyed. Roads get destroyed. Bridges get destroyed. Schools get destroyed. Hell, they blew up a school, what was it, twice or three times while we were there in Fallujah, killed a bunch of kids in it one time. That's what Al-Qaeda did. So, in the midst of all this, you're going to have famine and disease. Disease will kill more people than the war will. And I want to bring back Bakhmut. You've been following Bakhmut over there in Ukraine. In the month that war was going on, that battle for Bakhmut, 90,000 soldiers died. 90,000 soldiers died. That's my town, the town north of me, and then the three little towns west of me combined died in a matter of about 30 days, not to be replaced. Where do you get all those men from? Now, I know that you don't think the power grid would go down. I damn sure am expecting it.
No,
I'm
grid down,
absolutely
no,
expecting
Doug,
it.
That's
not an EMP, but a critical infrastructure.
Yeah, that's my point. No EMP is going to happen under Chinese rule, but to have a grid down is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, if they EMP'd anything, I could see them EMPing DC, hitting Langley, the FBI, the Pentagon. I could see them hitting an EMP on New York and destroying the stock market. New York will kill itself anyways, just like LA will kill itself. But you would probably do a limited EMP strike on a large military base. You better do that, right? But everything else can be easily coordinated through hackers.
That's why the fifth column forces are here from China, crossing our border on a daily basis.
Well, hey, let's talk about that. Fifth column forces, okay? Okay. Do you know how hard it is to leave China? In China, you have to have a smartphone. Mandatory, you have a smartphone. Okay? So you have to have a smartphone. It monitors everything you say, you do, and where you go, and it actually listens to you. And then you have a social credit score. And based off of if you're a good boy or girl, you can't leave the country. You can't even typically go to other cities. So if you can't get in a plane because you're running from the government, if you can't get in a train, you can't get an automobile, and you can't get on a watercraft, how did tens of thousands of people flee China unrestricted, unbuffed? No one came out there and chased them down. And then you landed in like Peru or whatever. And then you walked, the 2,000 miles up to, the border at San Ysidro in California, where the border is. I think that's perfectly planned. I think it's absolutely planned. I don't know why if the Chinese are really sending these amount of people over here, why not just put them in a ship and send them straight to Mexico instead of, South America and then send them up? But I don't understand the entire plans of that. Hell, you could bust them. You could send them straight into San Francisco. It's not like they're going to tell them no. I mean, for as far as we know right now, California alone has an entire army of Chinese sitting there. And not just Chinese, but people from all over the world just sitting there because it's unregulated, which means there's no one watching, there's no one monitoring, there's no one stopping them. You can just come there.
That's true.
So.
Speaking of California, let me give you another scenario. My friend Paul Preston has taken his radio show, Agenda 21 Radio, to the Oroville Dam. It's been reported in one mainstream media as being 100% to capacity. The spillways are gone. They've never been repaired, thanks to Gavin Newsom. And I told you, Doug, that we have reliable reports of a 5-mile military train going into California. I think it's in part martial law material, because here's what's going to happen if that dam goes. And I think this could be the false flag that sets everything off. I think it's very possible. And here's what I think could happen. The dam goes, it's an earthen dam. So eventually, when that dam breaks, you're going to have a 10 to 30 foot wall of water hit Sacramento in about 70 minutes. It'll combine with a feather in American River. It'll travel further downstream. It will threaten the drinking supplies of Southern California and 20 million residents. The rice fields south of the Oroville Dam are the richest and most prolific in the world. There'll be not just famine in America, but worldwide. Interstate 5 will be flooded. Over half our commerce goes across Interstate 5 to the rest of the nation. This would be a paralyzing event. It would be the perfect excuse for martial law, and I think we need to be mindful of this as a possibility.
Well, if you were really dastardly, I mean, all China has to do is just pay a couple of the wrong people to go and put the right explosives at the wrong areas of the Oroville Dam, and you've completely changed the economics of America overnight.
You have already had this happen, but we have supplied the weapons. In these dams is part of the old continuity of government program. Extreme explosive devices are stored as part of an anticipated Russian invasion out of Canada by way of Alaska. And Eisenhower's plan was to blow up the dams and flood everything there so the Russians could not advance. Those dams are still weaponized. That is a real possibility. That could be a false flag. But because the snowpack has not fully melted yet, the Oroville Dam is in very big trouble. They may not need to unleash the weapons. They can just let things happen naturally, and no ostensible false flag is necessary.
Do they still think if the Oroville Dam breaks that it would push water all the way back into Colorado, of the Colorado River?
I haven't seen that. The biggest danger is, first of all, the flooding when it combines with the rivers in South Sacramento would push all the way to the coast, and that would be San Francisco and Point South. But Paul has been told by people in the know that there's a real danger to the grid and also to drinking water in Southern California, all 20 million people. Listen, we're not the only ones seeing this. I've had a couple of conversations in the last week or so since Paul and I've been talking about this that indicate that people are storing water. They have an idea of what's coming if this goes south. I mean, we have a 100% topped dam that's earthen with no restraint between there and Sacramento, 2 million people at risk, and we're hearing almost nothing about it on the mainstream media. It's what you're not hearing is what we
Why do you
need to
think
be
that is?
concerned about. Well, because I think this is a real possibility, Paul. I can't go out on a limb and say, oh, yes, it's going to happen. But why isn't this a national emergency? Why isn't emergency repairs right now tonight being done around the clock on those spillways? Doug, I'm going to tell you again, the snowpack has not peaked, and the dam is already 100% filled. Plays right into China's hands, doesn't it?
Well, that's there's so many things there. The wildfires are also another one. Wildfires at this
Oh yeah, did you see the bastard they
point in
caught on the
time can be
wildfires?
absolutely endless.
Did you see what they caught on the wild? They caught a Democratic donor, a major donor, has now been charged with lighting 100 fires in that region that you're talking about.
Say it not so.
Well,
This is my shocked face.
I hear you.
We arrested the same people all the time in the Northwest. You know what's the most staggering amount of evidence to this is, to my knowledge, never a conservative Christian lighting a fire. Never. Like, how strange is that, right? Economic terrorism's a big deal. It's kind of a felony, the things that Hunter Biden gets let off for. So we'll see. Oh, by the way, Hunter Biden's walking scot-free. So we
You
should all,
know who it's
wish
pissing
him
off
luck
though?
and
It's
bless his heart. And
pissing off the black community. I've seen more comments from black entertainers, black athletes, black politicians who are saying, "Hey, what about Wesley Snipes? How about this one rapper didn't pay his taxes and lie? Another guy lied on his gun application, and same things Hunter Biden did, and these people went to jail between 3 and 10 years." And Hunter Biden gets nothing. And many blacks, and I would see it the same way, they're saying this is a racial issue. I think it's a power preference issue more than it is race. But I understand why many black people are saying this is a racial issue. The Democrats are alienating their own base right now. And to me, this is very telling, Doug, because they just don't care. If Hunter Biden, well, let's say, would have got a 9-month sentence, at least they could have said he got something. And they weren't even willing to go that far. So they don't care what the black community thinks in the Democratic Party, which tells me they're tightening their grip for communism, the giveaway to China, and they don't give a crap what their black constituency says. And that tells me they're really close to pulling the trigger on total domination.
Yep. Well, I mean, I believe what Joe Biden says. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Oh,
An
oh,
idiot.
Joe Biden, who said if we integrate our
Like, I mean,
schools, they'll become like jungles. That Joe Biden?
hey, God save the Queen, man.
Yeah,
Look, Joe
well.
Biden is his own worst enemy. The Democrats are their own worst enemy. And I think eventually the black Americans, African Americans, however you guys like to be called, I don't really care. I think eventually the good people of America are going to snap out of it. They're going to wake up. And just like with the horrific revelations of the Tuskegee Airmen, and the other experiments that the government has done upon the black community, horrific experiments. Like, no wonder why they don't trust the government. And look, once again, it's the government and their people that they're protecting. They're screwing them over, but you better come out and vote for us. I mean, what I would love to see What I would love to see is for the Black community to really come out and show their actual pride and unity with this country, because they're suffering alongside all the rest of us.
That's true.
No one is special. No one is special. No one is different. We all bleed red. We all bleed red, white, and blue. We're all creatures under the same God, and we're all currently being tormented by the same godless creatures. So put aside your race, put aside your music and your beliefs and all this stuff, and let's work together. That's the one thing I can say that in the military, that's what made it so great. In the Marine Corps, we had, well, we said we didn't have race, we just had many shades of green. You had lighter shades and darker shades, but by God, we were all U.S. Marines. That esprit de corps is lost upon Americans. That Philadelphia, the brotherly love, is lost upon Americans. And we choose to segregate ourselves because our handlers, the elite, the politicians, tell us to. And we've lost control of our youth. We've absolutely lost control of our youth in every race and creed. And fathers of America, once again, we're to blame for this. Mothers of America, you're to blame for this. We all have a hand in it. But if you want to continue to allow the Prince of Corn Pop to go out there and smoke his pipe and get away with felonies and let your young men be demonstratively imprisoned for the same things, then just don't do anything. Don't say anything. Wesley Snipes, so what? He had his tax evasion thing. Hey, Al Sharpton owes $11 million in taxes. Why isn't he ever arrested?
Because
What about that?
he
Bill
supports the
Gates doesn't
communist
pay
regime, that's
taxes.
why.
That's right. If you got to understand the root of the cause, it has nothing to do with race. It's the party lines. What side are you going to be on? As the Bible says, choose you who you will serve this day. That's in Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But for the rest of you, if you choose not to serve the Lord, then you're going to continue to be unfairly punished by a completely outlawed, reprobate system of justice that we have. It's not justice anymore. It's Department of Injustice. Every federal employee right now that is Black should be putting in a complaint. Every single one of them. Use the statistics that the FBI puts there. But we'll see, man. We'll see. I have very, very little faith in the American people anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm just jaded.
No, we're
Maybe
both
I'm just
jaded.
jaded, Dave,
We're both
because,
jaded, but and we're jaded for good
well, we.
reason.
I just think it's such bullshit. I have to sit here and worry about whenever I go into town because there might be an active shooter or there may be something happening because of the high crime rates that are happening in Texas now because of the completely open border. And now every time your family, if you live in Texas or on the border, has to worry about going out there because rapes have gone up, kidnappings have gone up, muggings have gone up, murders have gone up, paraphernalia sales have gone up, narcotic sales have gone
Yeah,
up,
I know. Doug, we're flat out of
school
time.
shootings have gone up,
Tell
mass shootings have
people,
gone
Doug,
up.
boy, we still got this discontinuity of communication here. It's like we're on tape delay. This is bizarre. Anyway, tell people how they can follow your good work.
American Vindictus show at is going to be at GS Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also find it on Rumble and on YouTube. AmericanVindictusShow.com. If you want to see the website, make sure that you're signed up for the Intel Report on Rumble so that you can see all the latest interviews and stuff that we're doing. We're very selective about what we put on the Rumble channel. So we
Yeah.
put typically our better stuff on there. And make sure you're signed up to thecommonsenseshow.com. And Dave, I think that's it.
Okay, that is it. We're out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, we sorry for the technical issues here. Doug and I talking over each other wasn't by design. Just happened with our discontinuity of communication. But on that note, We're out of time. We hope you got something out of this broadcast, because if you're not training, prepping, and praying, you're preparing to be defeated, even done away with. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks for joining us.